Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast for adults. You are listening to a weekly publication, produced every Friday morning. This is our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today, we present episode 347. Lord Jericho writes a letter to Santa Claus. It's Christmas in September. Don't forget to stop by our webpage for information about this show and others. KinkyCast.com. With the coronavirus being active, please practice social distancing. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. On the line with me is Lord Jericho. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, and I wanted to thank you for inviting me. I was quite surprised when you reached out and told me that my writings were making you smile, and I really want to thank you for saying that.
Yeah, you won't thank me when I get done saying this, because, you know, I think you're really a sick guy, man, and that's why like your writings.
Yes, part of me is not sick, and part of me is very, very, very sick. I try to balance it. As in all.
As we get further into the show, it's going to become Christmas in September, but we're going to unfurl a couple things first.
Yeah, we're going to be those people.
Yeah.
But we need a little Christmas spirit right now because of all the bull crap that's going on, you know? So
absolutely. We'll put up the Christmas lights early and get the neighbors to throw rocks at us.
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, tell me about Lord Jericho. What are you all about?
I think just like everybody in the world, I'm complex. I have problems. I try to come up with solutions. I personally try to every day learn to be a slightly better person of myself than I was yesterday.
Progress.
I had a dark past, and my life is doing a lot better the past few years, and each day gets brighter and brighter, and, you know, working towards the future, basically.
Well, that's what you got to do. So how long have you been in the kinky world?
I was in it briefly when I was a teenager. There was a female switch who, she ran an illegal underground, like, little dungeon in the sub-basement of an apartment building. And she, okay, to be honest, she saw me digging in a dumpster one day. And I had talked to her a couple times. And she's like, "You look like you need some money." And I was like, "Yes, ma'am, I do need some money. What can I do for you?" And she's like, "Well, I've talked to you a few times, and I've seen you around, and you kind of, I think I know something about you might know about yourself. Do you want to talk?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And one thing led to another, and I essentially kind of became a semi-part-time pro-dom, working, topping people in her sub-basement illegal dungeon. And it was just a collection of a few of her friends from the area, and they would sneak in with her husband, who was the, you know, janitor or whatever of the apartment building. And they would go in there and do their thing for a few hours once every week or so and stuff. I helped build a little wheel that we would put people on, and we could rotate it. It would go vertical, 45, and horizontal to the floor. And then we ended up breaking it one day because we put a 350-pound guy on it. And the person doing the crank, because it had two options, it had the pegs on each of the eight corners, or there was a crank on the side. Some guy who was an engineer had designed it. Well, the person working the crank decided to crank it as hard as they could with a 350-pound guy on there. And I'm standing there about 8 feet away watching, and I start hearing cracks. So I scream behind me, "We need help in here." And I go over there, and it's starting to lean forward. So me, the top, and the person working the crank are trying to hold up this, like, I don't know how tall it was, but this giant wooden structure wheel with a 350-pound guy tied to it while people are coming in trying to help us prop it up and get the guy off. And it never worked after that.
Okay, the wheel of misfortune.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually close to the name we ended up giving it afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've played with wheels like that. They're a lot of fun, but I did have a situation where I had a hefty girl on one at a dungeon, and I was concerned for the girth of the unit, but it did hold together. I spun her around till she got sick, so it all paid off in the end.
Well, the person that designed that apparently did a better job than the person that designed ours.
The axle on it was the axle from a car with a brake drum and the full set of bearings. And so this was heavy
impressive,
duty.
Impressive.
Yeah. This guy was a great engineer. And he even had the handbrake from the car that pulled the brake shoe and the drum so you could stop it at any position. Pretty cool.
After that, I got married shortly after that because I had produced a child, a son. And I basically did not participate in kink or BDSM at all for many, many years. I also got sick during that time with CPTSD, so that was a whole adventure in and of itself. Recently, around 5 years ago, I started getting back into it. There was someone who actually met me in the park playing Pokemon Go. And we were just talking, and she's like, hey, you want to come to a local dungeon? Because I said something to someone, and she picked up on it, and we just had a discussion, and she invited me. And I started getting back into it around that time. You know, I was looking to get out of the marriage and possibly relocate, and one thing led to another, and I just kind of just dived head deep. The world was completely different. Kink was completely different. BDSM was completely different. And since then, I almost came back to it as a complete day one newbie trying to relearn everything according to how the world worked now.
No challenge.
Yes. And now that I have the opportunity, I'm trying to spend time whenever I can to learn the history and the philosophies, etc. Because basically back then, all I did was the physical. You know, someone came in there, we had a talk. I did the whole paddle priest thing. They paid me a few bucks and then they left. And, you know, that was basically it.
Without the depth of the background of it, you're just doing the physical part.
Correct, sir.
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, you have broadened your horizons a lot.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. You're a prolific writer and you get into some interesting things. And one of the things that pricked my interest here in the nonfiction collection of your writings, Mindfucking 101 : Humor Edition. Tell me about that.
Yes, yes. I enjoy good mindfuck. And that collection is some humorous things that happened when I was kind of, it was only almost like an accidental mindfuck situation where something funny happened between usually me and my Camelot. Hello, Camelot. I love you, baby. We're going to get married in about 2 years, maybe. I don't know. Now, that's an official announcement. Nobody really knows about that. So,
okay. Your secret is safe with me.
I proposed to her about a week ago.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically just a collection. Some funny stuff happened and we were like, hey, I think other people, if we shared this, they might get a chuckle out of it, and everybody needs a chuckle to brighten their day. So we shared it.
That is fun stuff. And a good mind fuck is a wonderful thing anyway.
Yes. It's a complicated and risky adventure that, you know, involves a lot of responsibility, but it can be a great thing.
The writings that I'm referring to right now, you can find on Lord Jericho's FET page, and that will be included in this week's show page. You have another one here, Paradoxical Commandments. What on earth is that?
That's actually not mine. That was something that I kept with me in a little piece of paper that my grandma had given to me. And then I had lost it. And then when I met my Camelot, she actually showed it to me, not knowing that I already knew about it. So we actually ended up putting it both on our pages. And off the top of my head, I can't remember who actually created that. I think it's sourced in the actual writing itself. But it's an amazing writing about how life's shit. People are going to shit on your head, and they're going to just cause you hell. The world's going to cause you hell. But if you intend to do good, you do good anyway. You don't do good just because you're going to benefit from it. You're going to get more popular. You're going to get more pussy. You're going to get more play partners. If it's worth doing and it's doing good, you do it and you just deal with it. Ignore the haters. You just try to do good and make the world a better place.
I'll read a couple of them here in a second. Down at the bottom of it, it says, Kent M. Keith, The Silent Revolution, dynamic leadership in the student council.
Yes, I believe that is actually the person who wrote it, because I believe we sourced it at the bottom.
Baz Luhrmann did the commencement speech years ago at a college, and it was titled Wear Sunscreen.
Oh, I remember that.
And that's one worth looking up, listeners, if you want to have something interesting. And this is kind of along the same lines. The first line of it is, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. How true. Second line is, if you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. It's these little paradoxical twists that are everyday life, and they make a lot of sense.
Yes, yes, and that's why we put them on our pages. You know, when you go about the world, in my mind, you can say something until you're blue in the face. You can tell someone you love them. You can tell someone, I am your loyal friend. You can tell someone, I'm going to pay you your money back. But if you don't prove it with action, the action's what counts. And it's the pattern of action over time, you know, that proves yourself to someone. And it's the hard times where, you know, things get difficult and that person continues to prove themselves just like they did in the good times. That's how you learn the matter of a person. Are they going to be there for you when the shit goes down?
Words are cheap and people have to stand up to them.
Exactly. And people can lie. So you basically just...
You know, people give lip service just to shut people up. They don't stand up behind
Correct.
It. You have created a couple writing challenges, more than a couple. Where did those come from?
I believe actually my Camelot created one or two of them. I just kind of like helped her out. I like encouraging her to have her own voice. But I do believe I also created some myself.
How do these challenges work?
You kind of caught me in an awkward moment because okay. I don't actually remember.
Love button challenge, I dare you, because inquiring minds need to know.
Oh, yes. That was one I did not create. That was one of the ones that was at the time going around FET. And it was one of those ones where, like, you know, you were encouraged to, you know, share some info about yourself and then kind of like pass it on. And I saw it as an opportunity because I am a person that finds it hard to kind of like trust people and kind of talk about my problems. But when I write, I can often release things from myself that I can't say out loud. I tend to write from the heart and it tends to be long form, you know, not the instant gratification stuff. So I did it. And that was one of the beginning points of where I started revealing some of the more delicate parts of me behind the whole, like, hey, I'm supposed to be some domly dom, you know, on FET, you know, because I really don't believe in that bullshit. I want to be as real as possible. And people have problems and people are, you know, complicated and they have faults.
I'm sure that your Camelot appreciates the human side.
Yes, I've been told from other people they also do. I will do anything for my Camelot. She is my property, and as property, I will defend her like a rabid fucking dog. And I will defend her from anything and anyone. I will make an enemy of the entire world if I had to defend that woman. She is an amazing... I can't even put into words how better of a person I am because I have her in my life.
A fine partner is a wonderful thing to have. It changes your life.
Yes, sir. It is. Very much so.
We're going to dwell into another area of your existence, your creative writing exercises.
Which I actually like doing a lot more.
Erotica collection.
Yes.
This is where you get to get out of your head and into everybody else's.
Yeah, this is the stuff I actually enjoy.
One of doing. The writings you're going to do a reading from, which is the Christmas in September special, Dear Santa. But before we get into that, there's a couple titles that fascinate me. My Boner Benefits, okay. LLC series.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a parody series. Everybody, you know, hears about, you know, both in the kink and the vanilla world. And I have actually been guilty of doing some of this stuff in the past when I didn't know better. you know, people who, you know, walk up to you who really don't know about your life, and they try to tell you how to live your life. This is what's going to make you happy. They don't listen to you about what you say will make your life happy. They try to tell you and act like they know better than you do. And then you see the people on FET, all the arguments of, oh, the fuck boys and oh, this and that, and people who like, you know, the one, two way type things. And I kind of bundle that all together and I'm like, what if I did this like fictional parody of it where it was a business and there were different characters and each character was somehow distinct and it was in this ongoing series that kind of built up the characters in the world and kind of confronted that in a funny parody type way. And then I would basically, in each edition, I would answer whoever commented as if I was that character. And the first one kind of blew up, the second one not so much, and then the third one and the fourth one did well. And I plan other ones, and hopefully over time, like, people will enjoy it. It'll give them a laugh. Because like I said, people need something in their life, because every day you have the opportunity for that day to suck. However, if you have just one thing that will make you smile, if you have just one thing that will make you laugh, that day will be just a little bit better. And I live my life about balance of all. And there's darkness and there's light. So, you know, why not just do some silly, corny shit that's going to give somebody a chuckle, hopefully.
And that's what attracted me to your writings, is I started reading it and I started to chuckle and I said, oh, there's something good here. And I kept going and...
Thank you.
I was in stitches at a couple points there. The character that you introduce in the first one is Stan the Stud Muffin Broman.
Yes, he's the company man. He's the professional.
The names are fantastic. In the second episode, Mitch Punisher of Poundtown Knickerfucker. Okay.
Yeah, he's the finance, I think he's the COO, if I remember correctly, and he's the more hard-nosed, like, you know, you're going to do what I say or else because I know better than you, and he is not as good as Stan at keeping to the company line. He can sometimes lose his temper, have a little bit of a hissy fit, and, you know, kind of like, you know, move the curtain away a little bit behind the whole like sanitized image of what the company is trying to promote and do, you know, because he tends to lose his temper a little bit.
Punisher of Poundtown. Let's see. Was that you in the basement, sub-basement of an apartment?
No.
Okay. No. Just checking.
No. Back then, that was strictly business. There was no sex in that thing. That was one of those old school, I mean, to my knowledge, old school, where like if the submissives went in, they had like a few weeks to get it or even a few months to get understanding of how the place worked. But it was all business. You went in there and everybody had their roles. You respected the different people. You played your roles. It was basically like you're coming here to get your therapy. And this is not like hanging like the modern day where everybody's hanging out and telling jokes. And it was like, I've come here to do what I need to do. It's like a gym back then in the place that I was at.
Yeah. And many pro shops are that. It is formulaic, you know, 1, 2, 3, and you get to come in the end or something like that.
Yeah.
These are too good for me to throw tidbits out. So I'm going to recommend that our listeners go dive into Lord Jericho's FET page and check out the writings because they are fab. You've got another one here, God and Bagels.
Yes, that was a little kind of creative thing I did like many years ago. It's probably one of my, there are some of my things that, I mean, probably being a little self-critical here, but I could have done better. But that one was actually, the idea of people wearing masks and being inauthentic kind of got in my head. And I was like, all right, and then for this song Jewel came into my head when I was writing it of the, you know, what if God was one of us? And I had this idea of like, what if there was a God who was walking around or someone who, at least immortal? And in order to kind of stay under the radar, every so often they would morph their shape. Okay. But, you know, just like a regular mortal, they met people that they loved and they had to see them grow old and wither. And what would happen to a person like that? And that little short thing is kind of like, you know, a moment in time of a creature like that that might exist.
It's interesting because you kind of have God as an old Jewish guy sitting in a bagel shop here eating bagels and lox.
I was trying to respect. I am not personally a member of the Catholic or Christian faith, but I know and respect a lot of people who are, and it is very beneficial to them. My grandma was specifically, and I was trying to respect my grandma and all the other people by setting it. And I also thought it was kind of funny to be in a bagel shop because it's like a weird place, you know. I've been in bagel shops. They're filled with some wonderfully flamboyant characters, let's say. And so I kind of thought it was a good
fit. I've been to some bagel shops in New York City that are just this incredible character-laden places. And
Great people watching. Incredible. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And so I just put myself right into that first line, went, oh, yeah, okay, I can do this. Meanwhile, you drop down and played a little 007 here. The Spy Who Sucked Me, Volume 1.
Yes, sir. that was actually another series I planned on continuing, and I haven't continued yet, to be totally honest. It was spawned after a four-hour fuck session with my Camelot. Oh.
It's a tough life.
And we sat there like laughing and exhausted, of course. And I was just, the thought just came into me. She's like, oh, I just, you know, that a lot drained you of like everything and all your info and you can't even think straight. And I just came into me. I was like, we were talking about something else I don't honestly recall. And somehow it just spawned the idea of like, you know, her being a spy and, you know, to be funny, me being her, like, assistant that she recruited into her network. And it kind of went from there. And at the time, I planned it to be a series. And I think one day I might get back into it. But, you know, life happened and it got in the way.
You need one of those four-hour fuck sessions.
I actually have those more often than you would think. Oh, it's actually a problem, but yeah.
That's a toughie, but you're getting no sympathy from me.
I joke that I don't have the largest dish on the table, but the table's always filled with food.
Well, can't beat that with a stick, I'll tell you. Mm. let's look at one more before we dive into a little Santa Claus thing here. Zelda Missed the Link.
Yes. I actually wrote that around the time that Zelda Breath of the Wind was coming out.
With her 8-bit arrow?
I was really, really excited. Yeah, I'm kind of... I actually created a group based on the idea of, like, being a jock that's also intelligent. Because at one time I qualified for Mensa, but is also a huge, like, nerd. Because I'm, like, a big gamer and D&D player and all kinds of other stuff. Like, I used to build computers. I loved the idea of a new Zelda coming out where it was like open world and I saw the screenshots and I was kind of like almost wet in my pants at how much I wanted to actually play the damn game when it came out. So I just kind of like, I was like, yeah, I need to get this energy out. And I kind of just like wrote and that's what I came up with.
You can keep some people busy for a while getting through your writings here, because as I say, I just smile when I read through them. But now we're going to do the drum roll and get the jingle bells out.
Oh, boy.
I hear somebody coming down the chimney now. Dear Santa.
Yes, sir.
Take it away.
Dear Santa, please enjoy the cookies and don't forget the milk. If your balls need attention, my sleeves' lips are made of silk. Please be a dear, O Santa, and lend me your ear, for my need this holiday is sincere and severe. For you see, dear Santa, my balls are full and bouncing with cum. To think that a condom would solve this issue is really quite dumb. My slave refers to my stamina as the Energizer Bunny Buffet. Statistics suggest that condoms are quite at risk to be slayed. Dear Santa, there are so many girls I want to bone. Yet with sperm in my balls, they won't answer the phone. I have offers from Sally and Little Spinner Dot. However, dear Santa, my grandma raised an honorable man. And with these offers, I hesitate a lot. My balls must be emptied permanently. The sperm sent adrift. I don't want these ladies to be forced to eat ham this ho-ho holiday, if you get my drift. Dear Santa, I've already created one child. He grew up smart, creative, and strong. Yet creating another child would surely be completely wrong. I lucked out the first time, Santa. I succeeded where I might have failed. The only success I now need, drooling ladies. I'm conscious from being nailed. So please, oh please, dear Santa, for Christmas, I want a vasectomy. Oh yeah, baby. Please, oh please, dear Santa, empty my balls. Then this time next year, I will be decking the halls.
Ta-da! Inspired by All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
It's corny and silly, but like a lot of people seem to like it.
Ah, yes. So. And a lot of people can relate to it, strangely enough.
I only got one negative review on it, and I'm no longer friends with the person.
Fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Yeah, they definitely could not take a joke.
Sir, it has been an honor having you on the cast tonight.
No, it was my honor, sir. I am among some very amazingly great people that have recorded your show, and it is me who should be thanking you.
Tonight I wanted to bring a smile to people's face, and I think you have succeeded. And so head off to Lord Jericho's FET page and check out his writings. Very interesting soul you are.
Talk to you again. Thank you.
You have been listening to episode 347 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max.